University Broadcast Studio.
It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starrs.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. We're back. It is the Todd Starrs Radio Show. Not that there was any doubt, but this is the Todd Starrs Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. A little humid here at the southern command of our radio program, Memphis, Tennessee. About 300% humidity today. And I was, it's just brutal. You can't go outside. You really can't do it. You got to crank up the air conditioning. That's why God gave us air conditioning, to take care of the southern people. And I was trying to watch some of the baseball. You know, they have spring training. I know Caleb, our board op, is a big sports fan. I think more so football than baseball, but I may be mistaken.
Guilty as charged.
And I don't know if you caught any of the games, but they've got the it was kind of weird. They've got the cutouts of the fans.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And I'm not sure that's working for Major League Baseball.
It's really weird. It's just really, really. Although I came up with an idea, you could turn it into a game. I mean, if you put them out in the outfield, you know, sell cutouts to people, and if your cutout gets hit with a home run, then you get to keep the ball.
That's really smart.
They mail you the ball.
Or I'm just wondering, you know, if you're a pitcher, maybe, you know, maybe when you're pitching, you could just try to take out one of the fans.
Like one of those carnival games?
Like one of the carnival games, and you win a prize for someone. Like a box of Cracker Jacks. Do they still sell those at the
Oh, you can. Yeah, absolutely. There's
Are
so
you
many.
Sure?
Yeah, there's so many
cracker
places.
Cracker Jacks. All right. I just want to, you know, Cracker Jacks. That's kind of, you know, racially insensitive. So I don't know if they were, you know.
It's well, only
that's for
white people.
That's for so. White people though. So I'm sure it's fine.
It oh, so matter. It's okay then. Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah,
as a salting American, I should have known that. By the way, speaking of baseball, you folks in Atlanta. They have a huge sculpture. It's a wooden sculpture out near the third base entrance to the ball field. Is that still SunTrust Stadium?
Truist now. It's Truist yeah. Park.
It's so confusing. Anyway, Truist State. What a weird name for a ballpark.
Blame the banks.
Anyway, they removed this giant sculpture that was honoring the tomahawk chop. Caleb, I think they're coming after you guys.
Well, listen, they can take down statues. They can do whatever they want. They can't stop the chop.
Yep.
They're going to try. And honestly, I'm not too sure the name Atlanta Braves is safe. I'm just saying, I think they're going to really push the issue. And you folks in Atlanta are going to have to decide. I mean, you may have to stand up and tomahawk chop your way down to Major League Baseball headquarters. So this will be very interesting to see how all of this plays out in the cancel culture. But, you know, they've already done it to the Cleveland Indians and the Washington Snowflakes or whatever they're going to call that team. So do not be surprised. A lot of people very concerned, by the way, about college football. And there are actually people call it was a Feinbaum over at ESPN. Well, have you ever heard that guy's radio show, Caleb?
Yeah, I have.
I don't want to speak, I never do speak derisively of another radio host. But, man, that show sucks. I mean, it's terrible.
Just a knife right to the heart. No
I don't
mercy
mean to,
on this Monday.
I don't mean to disparage the guy. But
we don't go after radio shows often, but when we do, we come from the top rope.
I'll just may it. Yeah, we'll just go ahead and throw that out there. But anyway, even he's suggesting that it's time for the NCAA, the head honcho, to get the heave-ho. Because nobody knows what's going to happen. Nobody knows if you're actually going to be able to play football. And what is, when does the start? It's, what, September? The first, usually the last week in August, the first week in September.
Yeah, I'm not sure when that weekend falls this year, but yeah, it's right around the end of August, start of September.
All because the China virus. Have you noticed? You know, we're just kind of like slowly meandering our way through through the big topic. I think it's because of the weather. You know, you just want to, you can't just jump in there. You got to take your time and get there. No need to break a sweat. It's radio. All that to say, there's a lot going on in the world of sports, and by a lot, I mean absolutely nothing. People are saying, you know, it's we've got to have sports. We've got to have some sort of relief from this China virus. We have to have a relief from these Democrats and their hired goons who are out there burning down our streets and beating up police officers and causing all sorts of mayhem. We've got to have relief from these governors who will not let people go to church and live their lives and worship their God as they see fit under the United States Constitution. We've got to have some relief here. And instead, all we're getting is politics inserted into American sports. And that is not a good thing, folks. It is just not a good thing. By the way, did you hear what happened to Bubba Wallace? He was introduced. Was this Bristol? I think this happened at the Bristol Speedway. And our good friend, Governor Bill Lee, the governor of Tennessee, was there. And they booed Bubba Wallace when he was introduced. And then when he crashed, they cheered. And you know it's only a matter of time. Bubba Wallace, wow, what a whiner that guy is. I mean, just a crybaby. I mean, you know, I bet he and Feinbaum would get along well together.
To be fair, the fans in NASCAR cheer after every crash. So that probably wasn't the story as much as the booing when he got introduced.
Well, there's just not much else to do. I mean, you're watching the race. I mean, it's kind of like a hockey match, you know. You're
just rooting for a fight.
Yeah. It's just a matter of time before somebody throws a punch. And so anyway, everybody's all upset now, and they're accusing the NASCAR fans of being racist because they booed when Bubba Wallace got introduced. They don't like the guy. And can you blame them? Because thanks to Bubba Wallace, you know, they have now painted every single NASCAR fan as a racist. And that's pathetic. I've got a poll to talk to you about. Wow, I never did tie in. There was a reason why I brought up Major League Baseball, and I almost forgot about it. But I did not, because that's what we do here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So, look, all of these cutout fans that are in the stands of the baseball games, you know, fortunately, here at the Todd Stearns Radio Show, we actually have live human beings that listen. We don't do the cutouts. We actually have live human beings that listen to this radio program. And we're very thankful for that. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868, a toll-free number, coast-to-coast, border-to-porous border. Our website is toddstearns.com. And we have a question up on our live show blog that is being managed by call screener Avery. Fox News poll, 63% of Americans see our country's founders as heroes. 15% say our founding fathers are villains. This is a very alarming poll. And you need to understand that what we are seeing happen before our very eyes is a generation of American young people who are being taught to hate America. These polling numbers should not surprise you. If you have read my books over the past, I don't know, 8 or 9 years, you will have known why this polling number is concerning. It used to be around 85-90% of Americans, by and large, saw the country's founding fathers as heroes. Now we are down to 63%. 15% say they were villains. Another 15% say, yeah, you know, not sure. It depends. And then another 7% said, yeah, it's we just can't tell you one way or the other. White voters, more than twice as likely as black voters to consider the founding fathers heroes, 71% to 31%. Those most likely to call them heroes include Republican women, 82%, Republicans, 79%, white evangelical Christians, 77%, and self-identified very conservative, 77%. Oh, all you folks in the white suburban voters, 72%. What's going on here in our country, folks, where a shocking number of people believe that our founding fathers were very bad people? On the other side of this, 57%, and this is, this again, disturbing numbers, 57% say they think monuments and statues of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson should stay up. They also say that the Confederate monuments should stay up by a much narrower percentage point, 9-point margin there. The poll also finds that large majorities see police brutality against Black Americans and a lack of law and order as a very or somewhat serious problem. 76% and then 79%. 79% of Americans, they see that law and order is a big problem in this country. What say you folks? I believe that is going to be the number one issue moving into the November elections, law and order. And we're going to get into what's happening in places like Seattle and Portland and Denver, where a good friend of this radio program was attacked on stage at a Back the Blue rally, Michelle Malkin. I believe she's going to be on the show later this week. Are you concerned about the direction of this country, folks? Are you concerned that the government-run schools are turning kids against this country? Honestly, I think the best thing that has happened as a result of the China virus, the Kung Flu, is the shutdown of our government-run schools. At least moms and dads, whether they like it or not, have some say, have some responsibility now in making sure their kids are educated. Maybe, just maybe, that is the best part of all of this, is that the government-run schools have had to shut down. All right, we've got to take a break. We've got a lot to go through today. Our good friend Governor Mike Huckabee is going to be here. They want to change a popular street in Memphis, Tennessee, in honor of Black Lives Matter, and they want to stick it to the police. We're going to talk to a city councilman, one of the few people willing to stand up and fight back against this outrageous Black Lives Matter mob. We'll be talking to him a little bit later on as well. A great show, plus your calls, 844-747-8868. That is a toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
The Lynn Scott family over in Hardin County, Kentucky, they are in a lot of trouble with the law, and it has nothing to do with any sort of criminal activity. And this is why we've got to pay so close attention to what's happening with these crackdowns on our civil liberties in the name of public safety. So this is the story from FoxNews.com. A Kentucky couple was fitted with ankle monitors and placed on house arrest after the wife tested positive for the China virus but refused to sign a self-quarantine document. Elizabeth Lynn Scott said she got tested for COVID-19 as a precaution. She was planning to visit her parents in Michigan. She got a positive test but had no symptoms. So the health department said she had to sign all these documents agreeing to call them anytime she left her house. So let's just say that she had to go down to the Kroger to get some groceries. She would have to call the health department to get permission first. The young mother claimed that she never refused to self-quarantine, but said she would not sign the documents because of how they were worded. Good for you, ma'am. Here's what she told television station WAVE. My part was, if I have to go to the ER, if I have to go to the hospital, I'm not going to wait to get approval to go. After opting not to sign the health department papers, Ms. Lynn Scott said she got a text informing her that her situation would be escalated and law enforcement would be involved. You know what? Who do these health officials think they are? Her husband said he was greeted by police officers at the front door of the house. I open up the door. There are 8 different people there, 5 cars. And I'm like, what the heck is going on here? This is Isaiah Lynn Scott. Mr. Lynn Scott said that there's a guy in a suit with a mask. It's the health department guy. They have 3 papers for us. One for him, one for the wife, and one for their little girl. Mr. Lynn Scott said, you know what? We didn't rob a store. We didn't steal anything. We didn't hit and run. We didn't do anything wrong. The couple said they were fitted with ankle monitors right there in their living room. Can you imagine that? Here's the problem. They opened the front door. I wouldn't have let any of them inside. Ms. Lynn Scott said, even though she never refused to self-quarantine, that's exactly what the director of the public health department told the judge. Well, the director of the public health department needs to go to jail for lying to the judge. Contempt of court. Do you understand what's going on here? The idea that you can have law-abiding Americans in the Commonwealth of Kentucky that have basically been put under house arrest. And for what? This is what we're dealing with in the United States of America right now. What would you do, folks? And this could impact every single one of us. All of us could get, you know, here in Memphis, Tennessee, we are required to wear these masks. When you go into a restaurant, you have to give them all your personal information. So a lot of people, you know what they've decided to do? They're not eating out anymore. They're going to stay in their homes. Sadly, a lot of restaurants are going to go out of business in Memphis, Tennessee. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. Let's go to the phones. Our good friend checking in from Ellijay, Georgia. Joe from Ellijay. Joe, what's going on?
Todd, listen, I've got some great news. I've got a leadership class at Pooh's Barbecue, and we have the Georgia Teen Republicans elected officers, and every single one of them is in my leadership class at Pooh's Barbecue. And Saturday, we're having a meeting. Matthew Gamble, who I think will be a future governor, will be the main speaker. And we're telling everyone I'm there to be sure to support the great Todd Starnes Show. They're all Republicans, of course. They're all, you know, for Reagan and Trump. So your program is great, and we're going to tell everybody in my leadership class at Pooh's Barbecue to be sure to listen to the Todd Starnes Show and tell everybody they know to tune in from 12 to 3 on the Todd Starnes Show. So we're real excited about that, and I want to thank you again for the great job you do. I know you got a break coming up, but we're all behind you, Todd. You're a superstar.
Well, Joe, you're kind to say that. I'm glad you're raising these young Republicans up right. No vegetarians in that bunch, I have to imagine.
Right, you're right. We love a good steak and hamburger.
Good barbecue.
And we like fish and lobster. Mm. But anyway, you do a great job. Keep it up, okay?
All right, Joe. Thank you for calling in. Joe from Ellijay. We love it when Joe comes in. Mainly, he's cheaper than hiring a PR firm. So he toots our horn for us, and we like Joe for doing that. So this is a great leadership class, by the way, that they're doing. And again, we need this. This is about patriots taking charge of raising up the next generation of American patriots. That's what that's all about. So I'm excited to hear about what happens at this leadership conference that Joe from Ellijay is hosting there at the barbecue joint. You gotta love that. Can't go wrong with barbecue. So, look, we're going to be taking your calls on this situation involving the Kentucky couple here, because this could happen literally to anybody. And we're going to talk to Dr. Paul Chappell from California. They were among the thousands of Christians that held church in defiance of the governor of California yesterday. I mean, he could have been arrested. He could have been hauled off to jail. Mike Huckabee. Coming up next, we'll ask him about the situation as well. 844-747-8868. Toll-free number, that's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. Facebook and Twitter, they have the translation button. So if you're reading somebody's post from, I don't know, Bangladesh, you can, and it's written in whatever language they use in Bangladesh, and you can click that button. It'll translate what you're saying. Governor Mike Huckabee needs one of those for northern people on his Twitter page. I got to read this to you. So the governor was up at the crack of dawn this morning doing the Fox shows. And he said, grab a cup of strong coffee, tune into Maria Bartiromo. I'll be shelling the peas, husking the corn, cracking the pecans, rolling the biscuits, and telling the cow how to eat the cabbage. On the Liberty University Newsmaker line for interpretation, our good friend Governor Mike Huckabee, MikeHuckabee.com, host of the incredible Huckabee TV show on TBN, and a great wordsmith. Hello, Governor.
Well, you know, Todd, the good news is you're one of those great Americans that doesn't need an interpreter to understand exactly what I was talking about. And there are people who responded to the Twitter account, and they were totally befuddled. They had no earthly idea. And I'll bet you those are people that don't even have a Waffle House in their hometown, and they are the worse off for it.
That's the number one problem with New York City, no Waffle House, to be perfectly honest with you.
There's none in Portland. There's none in Seattle. There's none in Detroit. The craziest cities in America don't have Waffle Houses. Believe me, it is a civilizing influence that could change the country. I'm going to suggest to President Trump that one of his platforms is a Waffle House in every American city. I think he could really get America back on track.
Well, you know, FEMA does have that Waffle House, you know, they use that code system whenever there's a big issue. So maybe, you know, there's a big disaster. So maybe, you know, maybe FEMA could, you know, toss in a few dollars.
I think Waffle House is maybe too smart to put their nice, wonderful restaurants and food in places where people can't appreciate it. You know, you were talking about that, and I know we're going to get to other things. But that is true, because when I was governor and we had tornadoes or floods, we were in FEMA Region 6, and I can tell you that FEMA actually does go by what they call the Waffle House test. The quick version is this. If Waffle Houses are open regular hours, no changes, it's considered a manageable crisis. If Waffle House is on modified hours, it's considered a significant crisis. If Waffle House is closed, it's considered apocalyptic.
And I would say that there would be apocalyptic scenarios in places like Seattle and Detroit and Portland and New York City, where crime is up 130%, Governor.
Well, and I don't know that even hash browns could fix that. It's going to require some leadership on the part of some governors and mayors who will get their heads out of a particular part of their body in order to understand that their fundamental duty above all else is to create a system of peace so that people can live their lives and have their constitutional rights protected. And when you have thugs up and down the street looting, burning police cars, throwing bricks through windows, and with what little respect may be due to AOC when she tried to claim that people were just shoplifting bread. My point of this is, if people were out shoplifting bread, how come no one broke into a bakery? I mean, I don't know how many times I've not been able to find bread at Gucci or Tiffany's or any of Louis Vuitton stores in New York on Fifth Avenue. It's just amazing. I've gone many times looking for, you know, just a loaf of bread, never found it. But at the bakery, I always do. So it's just ridiculous for people like her to claim that these are just innocent protesters and they just happened to need a loaf of bread, so they thought they'd throw a brick through Louis Vuitton's window, grab a purse, and who knows, maybe it would taste like bread when they got it home.
You know, over the weekend, Governor, there were several dozen police officers in Seattle that were injured. A court building was damaged. Amazon, Starbucks looted. In Portland, you had officers, again, injured. They burned. They set fire to the police union building here. I mean, we're looking at, this is literally war zones in American cities. And now the mayors are upset because the president is sending in the feds to put a stop to the lawlessness.
Well, my question for them, since I grew up in Arkansas, in 1957, when President Eisenhower sent the 101st Airborne in to enforce desegregation of Little Rock Central, where my daughter ended up graduating 40 years later, my question would be, was Eisenhower wrong to bring the federal government into Little Rock so that those nine black students could get in the door? Do the liberals who are whining about law and order and how the president ought to get out of there and not come into Portland and Seattle, I just wonder, would they go on the record and now say that what President Eisenhower did was absolutely wrong and he should never have done it, and Orville Faube should have been able to stand in the schoolhouse door and keep the Little Rock Nine from ever getting in? I just want them to tell me if they are consistent in their belief about the federal government involving itself into issues of law and order.
It's a fair question. On the Newsmaker line, our good friend Governor Mike Huckabee, host of Huckabee on TBN, MikeHuckabee.com is the website. Governor, we just got a note from a listener on KARN in Little Rock. Mm-hmm. And, of course, a lot of people around the country dealing with these mask ordinances. And they want to know what you think about Governor Asa Hutchinson mandating masks in Arkansas, which I guess is the law of the land starting today.
Well, it's certainly an executive order. Look, I'm wearing a mask when I go out places, but here would be my counsel. This ought to be a matter that the legislature takes up in a special session. Maybe he does it as an emergency order. But I think the people's elected representatives, and I'm not specifically calling out Arkansas, I would say this about any state or any city. There are elected legislators, and if you're going to put a law into place or put a rule into place, and you're going to try to enforce it, even with things like fines, you need some legal authority to do that. And the best way to do that, if you're really committed to this, it's going to be helpful, is to do it through legislative action, a special session of the legislature, called special session to pass an ordinance if it's city council or at the county quorum court. I do have a question, though. If a person chooses not to wear a mask, is it still my body, my choice, or does that only apply to killing unborn babies?
It's a fair question. And so many people are so frustrated with what's happening in the country right now, Governor. And honestly, at this point, I want someone to explain to us, what is the end game here? At what point can we get back to living our lives? What point can we get back to what normal used to be in this country? Are we talking about a year from now, 2 years from now? I mean, what does that look like?
Well, and ultimately the question comes, who gets to decide when things are really open? You know, I said back when Congress was shutting everything down and everybody at the federal level, health officials who were unelected, were making the decisions, I said, look, I get it. I'm willing to do a lot of things in order to protect not just myself and family, but people around me. I'm not wearing a mask for the most part for myself. I guess I am somewhat. I am because I'm doing it for other people. I don't want to, you know, in any way either make them afraid or unknowingly pass on a virus to them. So I'm thoughtful about that. But the question that I do feel has to be raised is if people are going to make the decision to keep a business closed and that person who owns that business can't get his or her paycheck, will the person who made that decision be willing to forego his or her paycheck until that business gets open? And I'm just genuinely raising that as, I think, a legitimate issue. If it's this much of a concern, and if Mayor Newsom says churches shouldn't be able to open, will he forego his paycheck as the governor of California until those churches can open? I just would love for him to answer that.
You know, I know that, one of the side effects of all of this, we've had to cancel a lot of speaking engagements. I know you're out there quite a bit. I am, too.
Oh, yeah.
You're scheduled this fall to do a big event in California at West Coast Baptist College. Dr. Paul Chappell, who is the president of that school and the pastor at Lancaster Baptist, is going to be on the show a little bit later on today. And they had church outside. It was very interesting. They're in the high desert. They had over 1,000 people turn out. They brought their chairs and they worshiped God literally in the desert, Governor. And the pastor said, not as an act of defiance, but out of defiance to the governor, but out of obedience to God, actions that are protected by the United States Constitution.
Well, a lot of the things that I had scheduled, all of them in the spring were canceled, and a lot of the things that I've had for the summer and fall have either been moved, canceled. You know, I understand that, and I don't want people to have an event where they don't feel like anybody will come for the anxiety that may happen from an event. But clearly, big questions, should schools reopen? And I know the Yep. president's weighed in on that. And ultimately, that's a decision that moms and dads are going to have to make. And yet, I think that we've got to accept that there are huge risk for not getting certain things back in motion, particularly schools. If kids get increasingly behind academically. They may never catch up. And there is a real issue. There's a disparity between families who are poor and families who are affluent, who might can afford child care, who might can afford online learning that maybe is really enhanced. But we got a lot of people in this country, single moms, families who struggle, who are already hurting tremendously economically from this. Their children typically getting a lot of their nutrition from school lunch, and shutting them out of school is a big deal. And it means mom can't go to work if she's a single mom and has to stay home because the school is closed. Where does she get an income? How does she make it? How does she pay her rent? I just think there's a lot more at stake here than just the emotional thought of having school or not having school.
All right, Governor, we're going to have to leave it there. You know, there, I met a guy. I was giving a speech in Arkansas a few years ago, and after the speech, this guy comes up. He says, "Mr. Starnes, you shucked it to the cob. Governor, I think you shucked it to the cob today."
That's good to hear. Thanks. Take care.
All right, Governor Mike Huckabee, folks, MikeHuckabee.com. And if you don't watch his show on TBN on the weekends, you don't know what you're missing. It's a terrific show, and we love having the governor on the program. All right, so there you have it. One of our callers wanted to know from Arkansas about the mandatory mask policy. I am curious. This is a brand new order, went into effect today. You folks listening to us on KARN, are you wearing the mask? Are you not going to wear the mask? Tell us what's happening over there in your state. 844-747-8868, a toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
You're with Todd Starnes.
Folks, coming up a little bit later, Jerry Falwell Jr. Is going to drop by. Also, Dr. Paul Chappell is going to be here. Looking forward to that conversation as well. Meanwhile, let's get to the phones. 844-747-8868. Cabot, Arkansas. Darren listening to us on KARN. So, Darren, what's going on with this face mask mandate?
Well, first of all, Todd, big fan of yours. Been listening to you a long time. It's an honor. So like you said, our mandate came into effect today. If you're going to be in public, you're supposed to wear a face mask. There's a couple of caveats there. If you're a child under 10, you don't have to wear one. And also, they're saying if you have an underlying medical condition, you don't have to wear one. So number one, if I go into a business and I want to be a customer of that business and I want to shop there, I'm going to respect their wishes. If they want me to wear a mask, that's fine. But if I'm out in public, I'm minding my own business, I'm social distancing or whatever the case may be, my question is how are they able to ask me about underlying medical conditions without it being a HIPAA violation?
You see, that is a terrific question, Darren, and a lot of people around the country have been asking that very question, because that is a huge issue as far as privacy issues go.
And for me, I'm a big believer, and I'm going to do what's necessary to protect myself and my children. And obviously, if I've been exposed to something, I'm not trying to go out there and get anybody sick. But at this point, it's just gotten ridiculous, and I do believe our freedoms are being taken away a little bit at a time.
Darren, I'm telling you, one of the things that really gets me, and look, I'm with you. I'm not going to, when I was living in Brooklyn, New York, among the liberals, I wouldn't intentionally go outside wearing the NRA ball cap, you know, or the Trump, you know, the MAGA hat just to tick off people. Come on, you know, we're better than that. But at the same time, it's a hat is a hat, a shirt is a shirt, so be it. But the point here is, you know, you're right. If you're going to, when they first told us you got to stay inside for what was it, 2 weeks? You know, I think on this radio program, we said that seems to be a prudent thing to do. Let's wait a couple of weeks, then a couple of more weeks. And now all of a sudden, here we are, 4 months into this, and they're saying it could go through the end of the year. I mean, where does it stop?
And we have had a few sheriffs come out, county sheriffs come out with statements saying they're basically not going to enforce this. They don't. There's been a couple from a couple counties here that have said, you know, we neither have the manpower nor do we believe we have the right to enforce this. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen with this. I think you're going to see a lot of lawsuits come down.
Yeah, this is. I think you're right here, and the challenge, Darren. You know, now Walmart says you got to wear a mask. You got Home Depot today said, yeah, we're going to start implementing mask policies. My encouragement to people: don't be jerks about it. And my philosophy is, if they require a mask, I will not shop there. I just go somewhere else. I don't make a big deal about it. But there's no reason for you to get up in the face of the Walmart greeter or scream at the cashier. I mean, come on, folks. We're better than that. And it's not their fault. They're just enforcing the policies.
That's right. Vote with your wallet.
That's it. That's what you got to do. Hey, Darren, thanks for calling in. And, man, we appreciate you listening to us and the good people there at KARN. Let's go to Steve in Central Arkansas, listening to us on KARN. Hi, Steve. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. I've got a suggestion that will would address a lot of these coronavirus response issues. And my suggestion is they're pushing President Trump right now hard to create a national response to this coronavirus, a national policy. I would call a press conference and I would get up there with as straight a face as I could keep and say, you're right. We need a national policy. We've made mistakes. This is a new virus. We've treated it in new ways that have never been tried before. I've decided the best way to deal with this is to go back to historical data on what has worked in the past for infectious diseases. And looking at Barack Obama's administration, he addressed two during his administration, the swine flu and the SARS coronavirus 2, what outbreak or whatever. We're going to use the Barack Obama's infectious disease policy, and we're going to address this the same way Barack Obama addressed them in his administration.
And how did Obama do that?
He didn't shut down any businesses.
That's
he
right.
didn't shut down any schools. He didn't make
That's
anybody
right.
wear masks.
Preach.
As a matter of fact, I've even been told that he actually stopped testing in one of the buyers.
Well,
he ordered the CDC.
Steve, we gotta go. I'm sorry. But it's a fine point you make there. Steve, you're a great American patriot. Hey, folks, stick around. Paul Chappell from California coming up. Jerry Falwell Jr., too. We'll be right back.